Have you missed us, folks? We've been gone for a while.
We are back.
Can't see nods on the
podcast. Yeah, I didn't mean to nod. I thought you had something else. I thought you were going to say something else, and then you didn't, and you kind of looked at me, and I was just nodding along with it.
Say something to the fantastic listeners of our website.
Oh, yeah, we are back. We missed the last couple podcasts due to just, like,
beer.
After the game, I was a little probably too drunk to do a podcast. UFC was coming on. Beer. More beer, yeah. Just sort of extenuating circumstances that made it so that doing a podcast wouldn't have actually... You wouldn't have wanted to listen to a podcast done by...
Unless you liked slurring words and incoherent thoughts.
Yeah.
I think we could have got a good 45-minute ramble from Jason complaining about something.
Yeah, you probably don't want to hear me.
Sometimes they're good.
Yeah, they're not too bad.
You make me reveal my password to the podcast people again? Okay, good. That's my password to everything, so if you want to hack my account, let's go for it. So there you go, folks. If you want to find out what my passwords are, it's all letters, no numbers, and it's very simple to figure out.
Is it with a Z?
It's with a Z. Okay. Always with a Z.
Any cap? That's not
no it. Caps.
Okay. Well, let's start talking some Pitt football.
Can you believe they booed Bill Stahl?
I don't want to harp on that.
We bad fan attendance?
We,
No?
I mean, we should do it. Let's just talk a little bit about that. It's sort of showing about the way the media works here that rivals can have a national writer do a better interview with Wonstadt than we've heard in 4 years.
5 years.
5 years from our beat writers. They sort of harp on things. They sort of want to make Pitt fans out to be the bad guy. That story about Stahl was a hatchet piece on that. I mean, it was really exaggerating everything. I think sure, he got booed. But the beat writers also have to take some sort of responsibility in that they were the ones writing every single day about how bad Stahl was in camp. They don't remember that because
it's not their fault. They were just stating the facts.
That doesn't help their story.
They will sell more subscriptions if they write puff pieces all the time.
Exactly, and it's not you can't look at it. You can look at it this way. You can't go like, oh, it's okay to run his parents out of the section. But I don't really believe that's what happened. I think it was something, you know what I mean? Something sort of a little exaggerated in the piece.
I'm going to tell you another thing, too. Bill Stahl's family, I sat near him at the Sun Bowl, not exactly the classiest individuals.
Yeah, well.
Let's just say when Bill Stahl was not performing the Sun Bowl, somebody suggested maybe we turn to another option, and then the barrage of profanity was started.
Exactly. And it's a situation where this is major college football. Major college football has become, it's like the pros, in that people expect a certain level of play, and they weren't happy about it. And you can say a lot of those boos are for Wonstadt and a lot of those boos are for Stahl, but it doesn't matter. He played through them, and it probably made him better for it, but I'm not saying that, you know, everybody should have to go through getting booed at home. It's just that game was not playing very well, coupled on worst football game I've ever seen in my life at the Sun Bowl. Couple on a last season where he was atrocious.
Plus all of camp.
How were people supposed to know what would come in the next, you know, nine weeks?
You don't always expect a big swing like that the way we've seen it. It's not a turnaround.
Yeah, you don't expect monumental turnarounds from people's careers. It'd be impossible to think that.
If they would have said, hey, you're going to go from Sun Bowl to 14 touchdowns and 3 interceptions, we'd be like, ha ha, who's playing, Tino?
you'd think that. But it happened. It's not that big of a deal. Everything I've noticed since you know we started playing well is that everybody's behind the team. There hasn't been any booing outside of maybe that little bit in the UConn game when we were playing horrible. But that was more towards booing.
I boo. But it's only directed at Teresa Nuzzo.
I don't boo. I like yelling specific problems I have.
Like the guy behind us?
Yeah.
Dude, section 240, there's a guy that sits a couple rows behind us. He is fantastic. He hates everything about Pitt football, but he loves it so much.
That guy tops me in like any sort of hatred I have wanting or any sort of disagreement. That guy hates him way more than I do. I can't rile up that much anger. But so the season so far has gone, it's gone pretty much to form like how we thought. Like I thought preseason there was no way this team couldn't go 10-2 because the schedule was so easy.
Right.
It laid out so easy. You know, and what happened was, you know, since we haven't done a podcast since, you know, we lost the game at NC State. And please don't forget that. That happened and that was real.
That 14 points.
We dropped the game where you're up 14 points in the fourth quarter. Don't excuse that away. Keep that in the back of your mind. But We got through that, won that game against Louisville.
Yeah, that was a close one, but we
somehow
won
that game against UConn. You know what I mean? Somehow pulled it out. Those are games that we always lost under Wanstead. Always.
Then we come against USF and just blow them out. Like, they didn't even look good.
Two weeks ago, it felt like something was starting.
We looked like a real Division I college program.
Exactly, yeah. We looked like a college program that understand how to play with their talent, played the right people in the right spots, was getting the ball to everybody, did not let up on a team that, you know, conceivably could have beaten us. That was very good. That was ranked at some point during the season. That seems like the start to me, but this is where the actual season is. Like, these next, maybe not tomorrow so much, but these next 4 weeks are where everything matters.
With these last three games coming up, not including Syracuse, with Notre Dame, West Virginia, and Cincy.
Those are the games that
three
matter.
Three toughest games of our schedule.
And they're all back-to-back.
But right now, at this point, we're playing our best football.
Yeah. I think you can't look at it any other way. This is pretty amazing considering where we came from. You know, end of last year to now. It's pretty amazing that the offense has not let us down in any game. We've gotten consistent point totals. It's been mistakes on defense, maybe mistakes schematically, but we're getting consistent performances out of all of our playmakers. Like, you know, you got Lewis having
fantastic.
A breakout season as a freshman. He's probably going to take a run at Tony D's numbers, which is amazing, considering we have one of the best running backs of this generation the year before to come to a freshman that can do the same
thing. He has to be shooing for Biggie's freshman of the year, right?
Easy.
He could not play his last four games.
I can't even think of anybody close. He's probably freshman of the year in the nation, maybe. I can't think of anybody that would have a better argument for him. And then you have Baldwin, who's emerged as the big play receiver we all knew he was.
Right.
He's breaking big gains. Yards after the catch is pretty great for him. You know, he's given Stahl a target that he can throw it wherever, and Baldwin's going to get it. And then we're finally bringing Dickerson into the offense.
Dude.
Finally. A guy who's just a matchup problem everywhere.
We've been screaming about this for 3 years now.
And it's finally come, and we're finally getting the ball to him in space so that he can make plays. He is a touchdown machine.
That's the best thing about him. You can line him up at any position on the field. Teams can't account for him because you can line him up a receiver. You can put him at tight end. You can put him in the fullback. You can put him as the main running back. You don't know how he's going to get that ball, but we're going to find a way to get it to him.
And Sig has come out and made it a priority to get him the ball. Like, there's plays you obviously assigned to him. You know, look at the Buffalo game. Like, everything was assigned to him. He's catching balls over the middle. He's catching balls to the outside. He's catching balls in the red zone. He's doing everything we need him to do. Which is why that's his exact position. This is, we found a spot and we were using him miraculously.
It's just the same. It took 5 years to finally get an offensive coordinator understands his players and how to throw the right play calls out there.
And we're not trying to force him into the spot where he can't be successful.
Right.
We're not trying to play a running back.
Not put him linebacker.
We're not playing a linebacker. It's like we finally gave him a shot, and what is he doing with it? Putting up big touchdown totals. Giving Stahl probably his most consistent target outside of Baldwin.
We're giving him a highlight film that's going to give him a big NFL paycheck.
You would think he'd get in the NFL because they have that H-back position.
Somebody's going to take a chance on him, and it's going to pay off tremendously.
Oh, I would definitely agree. I think there's almost no way that he doesn't find his way into an NFL roster, even if he's not drafted.
Right.
But you got to think his numbers at the combine are going to be.
You're going to have a 6'3" guy that's super fast that can do everything that he does. Even if it's late, he'll still get picked up by somebody.
Yeah, and it's. And you can look down the line, that might be a position in our offense that we look to cultivate, that sort of tweener wide receiver tight end that looks like that could be like a spot where we hit people with, and Cignetti certainly knows how to use it, which I'm very impressed with what Sig's done with the offense just in general.
The guy who looks like he could fit that bill in this roster right now might be Chris Burns.
If you could call him up. That's a good thought, because I thought they were going to try Greg Cross there. Put a little more weight on him and then try him there. Chris Burns could definitely be that guy. Maybe even, like, you know what I mean? Maybe like try to find maybe one of the running backs coming into camp this year.
We got a couple guys coming in, plus with Lewis and Ray Graham here already.
I think we're pretty well set. I think we're pretty well set on the running back front. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be, because if you look at the way Graham and Lewis have played for the time they're getting, they're pretty even. It's just you can't take Lewis out because he earns every single carry he gets by blowing open big runs for us.
Absolutely.
He's been probably the best recruiting steal we've had. I can't think of a player who's performed the way he has.
It's just amazing. Everybody missed on him.
And somehow we got him, and somehow he's been able to do this as a true freshman. you know, even with a little bit of extra he had in spring. But, I mean, he took the job in spring in like a week and a half. You know, he's got Chris Burns to the point where he's going to make a position change.
Yep.
And
I think that was Chris Burns' job to lose
it. And he lost it somehow.
Really, really lost it. It was Deion just came in
and took it. And it's really amazing that this year we've kind of started to see slowly working into going, putting guys in spots where they can be successful. We have Turner's playing less for Shanahan's playing all the time.
Shanahan was my guy. I wanted to mention as a playmaker. How great has he been this year?
He's been because we thought when we got Baldwin and Shanahan in the same class, we go, that is a wide receiver tandem you won't be able to stop. And Shanahan's, he's been going up making big catches.
He has better hands than Baldwin.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He definitely does. Definitely does. And he's been making big catches. He's making big catches when they count. You know, he's earned his spot, and we're not seeing the same lazy route running that we saw from wide receivers last year. We see guys cut off routes. We're seeing guys go full bore every single time. They trust that Stahl can at least get them the ball somewhere so that they can make a play.
The big difference between the wide receivers this year and last year was last year the starting receivers didn't fear about losing their jobs. Kinder and Turner knew they were going out there no matter what.
Yeah, exactly.
This year, Cignetti's like, we're gonna try different things.
We're trying everything,
works. You know, Aaron Smith saw the field a little bit last year. Guess who's not seeing the field this year as a receiver? Aaron Smith, because Shanahan and Baldwin have played great. Said McGee and Turner get their time out there, but certainly not as much like as they did last year.
Turner was like every single play guy. You know, he never left the field, and now he's not. You know, now he's coming in, and he's making a little bit of plays when he gets his chance, which is what he should be doing because he's not a number one or number two receiver.
That's how he worked as a freshman. He had to work
exactly.
for it, and then he played better.
Make him work for it. Make him work downhill.
Sophomore and junior year, he didn't have to work for it. Things went downhill. This year, he's going to have to work for it again.
Let's go to the other side of the ball.
Defense!
I'm gonna start with a real positive thing. Big positive has been Jared Holley.
Oh, my God. How great has he been?
Been amazing at safety.
He's giving us a fantastic problem for next year. Do we keep him at safety or do we move him to corner?
You don't know, because, I mean, he looks as good at safety as anybody we have. He came in, he solved a lot of those problems we were having with the coverage deep. He came in, he's making plays, he's breaking up balls, and he can tackle. He also could probably play corner pretty well. It's pretty impressive the way he's acquitted himself into the college football in just these last, like, what, four games since he started playing? And he's been really up and down, but when DeSisto's been up, he's been playing pretty well. The problem is he's had some games where he's the worst player on the field.
When he's on the field together with Holley on defense, he looks all right. He still looks a little confused from time to time out there, and his special teams play sucks.
Yeah, yeah. I think we need to, little aside, special teams need to be overran a little bit. There's no reason to play all of our starters in the secondary on kickoff coverage. You're just asking for somebody to catch a helmet in the knee. It's like somebody else got to be able to do it. But back on defense, we're not. Here's the problem. We know what we can stop. You cannot come in here and run a spread and then try to run the ball out of it.
A running spread.
Running spread, yeah. You can't run a running spread at us. It doesn't work.
No matter what people want to have you believe, there is a difference between a passing spread and a running spread.
You can't come in here and just try to run the ball on us. It will not work. Out of any sort of situation you went through, it will not work. But the thing that we're still having trouble with is when teams run a lot of routes to the middle of the field, where we're getting tight, where we're getting linebackers covering slot wide receivers, and we started using the nickel against South Florida,
yeah,
which
love. That's another thing too. That wasn't Fields playing linebacker. Fields is in there to safety.
It's the nickel.
If you don't believe me, go back to the Wanstead press conference where he said that he knew that they threw the ball a lot, so we threw an extra safety out there.
It's the nickel. Yeah, it's always been the nickel. That's what they call it.
A 4-2-5 is a nickel.
Yeah, it's been the nickel. But if we can use that nickel more often. When we play a team that passes a lot, I have a feeling that there's going to be some more success there. You know, we've had big, big, big problems when teams spread the ball and throw
when we're playing the base 4-3.
Throw towards the hash marks and, like, in between the linebackers, because there's spots there all the time. Because you're asking linebackers who can't physically cover guys that are that fast.
Right.
And they're getting burnt. They're just getting burnt. And we saw it so much against NC State. We saw it against Rutgers, too, where they were getting that pass in there, and we just couldn't make the tackle because, you know, the guy's a foot and a half away from him before he even starts running.
Thank God Savage is still making freshman mistakes and Rutgers just isn't that talented.
Yeah, well, I think those games go back to somehow we won and that's all that matters in the end. Like, you know what I mean? If we bungle the wins, we still bungle the wins. We're not at the point where we start going, well, that wasn't a style win. We don't care anymore. you put the win on the board. We still got one loss in the comm. That's all we care about now. Because right. we can't get to the point now where we're nitpicking. You got to accept the winning as it comes.
Hey, man. 7-1 is good.
We waited long. like I put in the article today. I was like, it feels good to have something to lose. Like having a game, where we have everything to lose. How does that feel? We never have anything to lose. It's always we're the team with it backs to the wall. We don't have our backs to the wall anymore. We're right in the middle of the fight.
We're in the driver's seat.
I enjoy the fact that there's something to lose tomorrow, because it means these games actually have meaning late in the season, and that a win means something even better. Instead of just a win means, well, that was a moral victory. A win's like, now we can build on it.
It's good stuff. I'm going to throw another positive out there for the season. Adam Gunn against USF spying Daniels all game long. How great of a defensive call was that?
That was right up there with the 2007 Backyard Brawl defensive game plan. It destroyed any type of offense they tried to run, because they kept trying to do what NC State did to us, wait for us to break contain and then run, and it wouldn't work because Gunn was there the entire time. And with the extra safety in there, we were getting coverage. Brilliant game plan. I would love to see that formation more whenever we play running quarterback, because we're going to need to break out against West Virginia. We're going to need to break it out against Cincinnati, too. So
and don't think for a moment Notre Dame's not going to pass on us.
Yeah. I'm talking about the one where we spy the quarterback.
Right, right. Klassen's not running on anybody.
Yeah, Klassen ain't going nowhere. But the way we called it, too, we, like, jumbled it. Like, they didn't see it coming, which you never see. You never see our defense fool anybody, ever. When you see our defense fool somebody, you know this is a different year. Because, like, it's pretty incredible, though, the way. And the fact that we put together a performance at home like we did against USF. Like, that performance at home is, like, sort of, like, it means a lot more than those performances away. Because you're starting to erode at everybody's sort of pessimism towards the team, where we expect bad things to happen. Perhaps now we start to expect good things to happen because we're putting teams away.
The one bad thing that happened to NC State might not mean that much.
In the end, it really won't if we play out in the Big East. Because
the only way it'll mean something is if we finish 11-1.
But in the end, I mean, really, would that loss just came somewhere else? I mean, but realistically, I've always said this: I don't expect us to play for the BCS title ever, because that's not really our spot in the world. But getting into BCS is very, very much within our reach.
There's been no reason why we should not be competitive for the Big East title every year. Bless you, Jones.
Thank you. Competitive in the Big East and then winning, you know, a couple big out-of-conference games. If we lose, you know, say we lose a game where we're even with a team, that's, you know, that's what it is. But losing easy games, if we can get to the point where we stop losing those easy games, this is going to be a very successful program. Very successful. Like, top of the Big East successful.
Yeah, we got the depth to do it right now for the next few years.
Exactly. These next few years are going to be pretty... It's going to be pretty interesting to see where this program goes over the next few years.
Even this next recruiting class coming in, it's pretty, you know, it's not too shabby.
These next four games are the foundation of the rest of this. I'd say the next four games will frame where this program goes over the next 10 years.
Only that, it's going to frame how people view wants it. Either they're going to say same old
Dave, exactly,
or he's turned a corner.
He makes his college career off of four games because he's gotten himself to this point, something he's never done before. He goes 4-0 in these last games. It's a BCS bowl.
11-1.
It's a Big East title. 11-1. That means we're gonna come in the next season with all that momentum. All that we're gonna have the money from the BCS, which is gonna be better and better and better and better.
More national recognition.
Exactly. Everybody always complains that we don't get any national respect. Well, the national respect will come when we play those big time national games. And next week is the start of those big-time national games.
Right,
now, we have to get through the game tomorrow to get to that. But all eyes of college football are going to be on Pitt next week.
Oh, Pitt Notre Dame, 8 o'clock start.
8 o'clock, that's where everybody's eyes are going to be. And we're going to have a chance to show that we're not same old Pitt. And that people won't be going, now next time Fat Charlie Weiss does one of his alumni meetings, he won't go, we're not going to lose to the Pitts and the Michigan States of the world, because we won't be in that class anymore. We'll be in the, hey, maybe we can beat Pitt class.
Maybe we can beat Pitt. Maybe we can beat USC.
It's good times to be a Panther fan. But remember, we haven't done anything yet. This is just like the excitement's building right now. We're like at the start of the roller coaster where you're up at the top and it starts clicking. We're at the clicking part.
You're in that first hill.
We're at the clicking part, And then once we get past the clicking part, then the good stuff can happen.
You said it perfectly, Ben. Do not hesitate to enjoy this for one second.
Exactly.
But don't get so overexcited that you stop being realistic. Just take it for what it is. We're 7-1.
Yeah, we know.
We haven't been able to say that for 26 years.
We know the people we're talking to, like, you guys have been there through the nasty, nasty, nasty losses.
Yeah, me and Jones would be super down about the program.
Exactly. And it's there's no reason to be down about the program right now. Everything's looking up. I mean, you know, sure we lost that NC State game. But in the end, we're competing for the Big East BCS spot. So we're still good there. Everything's fine. I say go out, enjoy the Orange Mountain game tomorrow.
Oh, no. I can't believe you called them that. Oh, no.
I've only been calling them the Orange since I was like 6 years old, but okay.
The Native Americans are going to come after us now. Yeah.
But enjoy, like, that's a game that's never meant anything in the past, you know, under Wani. Like, the Syracuse game's never meant anything. So, hopefully we can go out there and put it on Syracuse, and then we get our prize, which is our first legit, hey, look what's going on in Pittsburgh, look from National College Football Media. And then that is when we have our chance to go, okay, it's our time now.
Think about this. We win our next two games. Pretty much Northeastern football
is us.
Is going to look, when you look at Pennsylvania, Ohio, it's not going to be blue and white and red and black. It's going to be the other red and black and blue and gold.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, we're 13 now. If we win the next two games, that's 7.
We win the next two games, we're going to be like 5 because beating
Notre Dame.
You got to understand
what beating Notre Dame is going to mean, because people have already started about trying to push Notre Dame into the BCS.
And if Deion has a very good game, then that's where you're going to start hearing that. That might be what gets him in.
If we could get somebody in New York, that would be ridiculous to get somebody into the Heisman race again. But that's a long way away. But start enjoying the steps. We are a legit college football program now. We are a legit. People need to talk about us in a discussion about who are the top 15, 20 teams in the nation. It's not, you know, it's not a situation where we're that team that can't get it together. We're that team that can't do this. We're a team that can't do that. We are a team that is on the precipice of basically becoming one of the top Big East teams like we should be. It's no more middle of the road Big East. No more last year losing every game we had a chance to sort of break through. We already got past that point. Now it's time to head down, win these big games. It's a completely different program next year.
I guarantee you another thing too. Pitt starts winning these big games, all that Big East is garbage talk. It's going to stop.
They're going to stop because it's BS. Because any statistical representation of the conferences has us ahead of the Big Ten. But since the Post-Gazette is a honk for Penn State, you'll never hear it. But you got to understand, the Big East is not bad. Big East is not bad. Not bad at all.
We got some legit teams.
We got some legit teams in the Big East. We got some legit teams, and our bad teams aren't as bad as the bad teams in other conferences. The college football is so down this year. Everything's so jumbled together that this is the sort of year where a Big East team could catapult themselves into that echelon right below your Texas, your Florida, you know, your Texas, your
Alabama.
SEC champ. You know, yeah, basically your Texas or your SEC champ and those teams up there, along with, you know, your at-large team like your TCU and your Boise State. Finally elevate itself to be right there where there's no argument that you can't put us in.
We're going to be just as good as the Big Ten, better.
Whatever crap team comes out of the Big Ten, which won't be Iowa, and I guarantee you 100% Oregon will not be a factor in the final BCS. Will not. They have 3 hard games in a row in the Pac-10. They'll lose one. They might lose to Stanford tomorrow. Might. And by might, I mean probably will. But, so, there's going to be an echelon of teams. Because you don't have your dominant USC. There's no Big Ten team that's ran the table. The SEC is really powerful, but it's only 2 teams, and those 2 teams are down comparatively to what they were last year. Alabama isn't what Florida was last year, but they're close, but they're not what they were. Then you have 2 at large who have as much business being in the discussion as anybody else. You can say anything you want about the bad schedules or whatever, but I guarantee you. You put them on a neutral field. Nobody wants a piece of TCU. Nobody. There ain't a team in the nation that wants a piece of TCU on a neutral field. I wouldn't take anybody except Alabama over TCU on a neutral field.
Not even Texas?
God, no, not Texas.
No?
Texas is not very good. Mark my words, when they play their BCS game, if it's in the national title or if it's another one, they're going to get lit up. That team's weak. That team is very, very weak offensively. Their whole offense is just try to hope Jordan Shipley breaks a big play. Every single play is that. Alabama's basically, let's run Mark Ingram until his legs fall off and watch our defense win the game for us. Florida is, let's watch Tim Tebow with his grandfather clock motion of an arm, chuck the ball out at 3 miles an hour and then make him run 65 times in the second half with a concussion. But Cosmo Bowl's open. The Big East is there. This Big East is not a joke. If there's an undefeated Big East team, which there won't be because we're going to take out Cincinnati, or somebody's going to take out Cincinnati.
I hope it's UConn tomorrow.
I don't really. See, that doesn't matter because we still have to win the game against Cincy to win. And if we're not going to win the Big East, I'd much rather have them go undefeated to screw with the BCS just so I can stop hearing about how great the Big Ten is.
How great
I was going to get housed by Ohio State. They're going to get housed and they're going to go, oh man, Ohio State's back. Oh, this is weird. I would almost go so far as to say Penn State is going to beat Ohio State and then Ohio State's going to house Iowa. And then everybody's going to go, what is this? This Big Ten, there's so much parity at the top. They're so good. Blah, blah, blah. Something about their defenses are unstoppable. 100,000 people in the stadium. Blah, blah, blah. You don't understand. Yellow seats, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Nobody said anything about Purdue.
Yeah, exactly. So, I say enjoy it. This is as into college football as you should be as a Panther fan. In the next couple of weeks, we'll find out.
Hell yeah, we will.
I'm excited.
Lay a whooping down on the orange, exactly. Men, tomorrow.
Exactly.
All right, folks. Well, I hope you enjoyed this small little one. We will be back again on Sunday with another edition of the podcast. We promise you that. So anyway, folks, thanks for listening again. Go to Pitt. And if you're by the tailgate scene tomorrow, come up to Red 5 on the roof. Look for the two dudes in cat basket shirts. So that's actually more of us. The flag hopefully will be back up if the parking garage found my plate that I left there a couple weeks ago. If so, stop on by, say hi, get yourself some food and drink.
Throw you a beer if you come up. I'll give you a beer.
I got Subway.
There you go.
All right, folks, for Jason Jones, this one only DPJ saying we'll see you next time.